Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 26th of January. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle, Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. How good's that? Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. Our freshwater report is checking. And we will finish with the fly fishing tip of the week, as always. Some fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next full moon is on the 1st of February. A full moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 180 degrees. At this time, 100% of the moon's visible surface is illuminated. What does it mean when you're going fishing? Well, around the time of the full moon, fish are sluggish and less likely to strike at your choice of fly. Now, don't worry about that. You still go fishing. Of course you do. You just have to put in more time and effort. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. The next meeting of the Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club is on the 12th of February. They meet at the Panmure Yacht and Boating Club, Kings Road, Panmure, at 7:30 p.m. And we spoke about this last week, but I've since learned that their guest speakers on that night will be talking about the recently held World Fly Fishing Championships. That's Brendan Lyon and Neil Hertzel. Neil's the team captain, and Brendan Lyon was one of the anglers. Now, also, John Rumpf, the ex-Australian fly fishing, fly casting champion, will be doing casting lessons. Now, listen to this. It's free to attend, and all are welcome. How good's that? So, that's Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club, 12th of February, Panmure Yacht and Boating Club, Kings Road, Panmure, 7:30 p.m. Have a look at their website, aucklandfreshwateranglersclub.org.nz. Now, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact the Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, Met Service weather. Let's look at some weather. The Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A ridge lies over the North Island, while a couple of weak fronts spread quickly over the South Island today and early tomorrow. Another ridge moves onto the country later, persisting through the weekend and into early next week. The forecast for Manukau and Waitemata Harbour and Hauraki Gulf. Saturday. Southeast 10 knots, but variable 5 knots with afternoon sea breezes for the harbours. Fine, one or two showers possible during the afternoon and evening. Manukau, Waitemata and Hauraki Gulf for Sunday, rising to easterly 15 knots, but variable 10 knots in the harbours. Fine, one or two showers possible. Okay, Met Service Waikato, for those fishing in the Waikato region, forecast for Saturday, fine at first. A few afternoon and evening showers, some possibly heavy with thunderstorms, light winds. Waikato region on Sunday, mainly fine, but a few afternoon and evening showers, light winds. For those fishing the Rotorua region, Saturday, fine at first. A few afternoon and early evening showers, some possibly heavy, light winds. Rotorua on Sunday, mainly fine. A few afternoon showers, light winds. Now, Taupo anglers. Saturday for you, sunny spells, a few showers early morning and again from afternoon when some could be heavy, light winds. Sunday in Taupo, mainly fine afternoon showers, light winds. If you're up over the hill into Taumarunui, the forecast for Saturday, fine spells. A few showers early morning and again from afternoon, when some could be heavy with thunderstorms, light winds. Sunday in Taumarunui, mainly fine, but a few afternoon and evening showers, light winds. For those fishing in the South Island, our listeners in the Canterbury Plains region, Saturday, areas of early cloud, then fine. However, afternoon and evening showers about the foothills, light winds. Canterbury Plains region on Sunday, mainly fine, isolated afternoon, evening showers, cloud increasing at night, light winds. Thanks to Met Service for those reports, we do appreciate that. Now let's look at some river levels. If you're fishing the Punu River, 23 kilometres south of Tjawamuta in the Waikato region, as an example, the Punu is at 8.01 metres. It's flowing at 6 cubic metres per second, and that's up from last week. The Mangatutu River, the next one over, is at 1.1 metres, and it's falling. It's flowing at 1 cubic, which is well down on last week. It is low and slow. The Ohanamuru River, measured at Karangahaki between Pairua and Waihi, is at 11.8 metres and it's falling. It's flowing at 4 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 21. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.4 of a metre. That is up on last week. The mighty Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 75.6 metres and it's falling, and it's flowing at 4.5 cubic metres per second. Ideal conditions. The Whakapapa River is at 6.6 cubics, well down on last week, and the Whanganui River, measured at Puriaga, is at 21 cubic metres per second, same as last week's flow. And the Tongariro River, measured at Turangi, is at 37 cubic metres per second. That is up on last week. Now, with the forecast around, these rivers will continue to drop and clear. Enjoy the fishing, but as always, you need to be very careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Real-time monitored websites. Thank you. Okay, we'll have a very quick break and then we'll get hold of the first of our fishing reporters.
Hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. A little light shining through the window, let me know everything is alright. Sing the song. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine. Makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. See the paper lying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Stella Gordon is a long-time resident of the Taupo-Turangi area. And Stella is an expert in fishing the rivers and lakes of the Central Plateau. And Stella, we can hear that she's busy in the background. And
I am.
Live on air. Good evening. How are you?
I'm We are really good, thank you.
Okay.
Crazy.
Long weekend, busy?
Very busy. Traditionally, the Auckland anniversary is often quite sort of subdued for us, but life is not like that any longer. It just is phenomenally busy, and it's just the way of life. I think things are just changing. I think, you know, if you think about those that are retired and those that are out on the, you know, the tourists that are in the country, and generally speaking, as our population is beginning to, scary, isn't it, age a little, there are individuals that have got more disposable time and energy and also income. And so because we're so fortunate to be able to do what we want to do within reason, as in, you know, walking or biking or fishing or whatever, we're able to do it. And it is reflective. It's great.
And the weather is helping, no doubt.
It really has been. I mean, you know, like often over the last few weeks, people have said, oh, the weather's been dreadful, what a dreadful summer. And you think to yourself, my goodness, how can you sort of make an analogy? But really, in reality, we've been very fortunate. We've had that cyclonic period. We've had days where we've had, you know, quite steady rain for two or three days, which has meant that you've had to, you know, rather than perhaps be outside, you were inside doing different things. Still no problem with wind or anything like that. So therefore, you know, really in reality, though, and generally speaking, our lake has been as calm as a mill pond. The fishing has been fantastic. We've been very fortunate.
Okay. Now, let's start with the lake. Is the lake level still very high?
Are you looking for a toilet, sir? Just right here. If there's something here, just grab it and take it down the bottom. The lake level has actually dropped away significantly, and that's due to the fact that we've had skiffy rain rather than, you know, significant volumes over, you know, two or three days or 4 days, which we've had earlier, you know, in January and earlier, you know, the latter part of December. So, thankfully. But, you know, in saying that, though, it's been great for boating, great for fishing, great for everything. So we've been very fortunate that it's just one of those years without that wind. It's allowed everyone to do whatever they've wanted, whenever they've wanted to, within reason.
All right, that's good. Now, stream mouse starting to, because the lake level's dropping, stream mouse a bit more pronounced now?
Certainly, really good rips, and very little in the way of pressure, as you can well imagine. Because we've had lots of calm weather and very little wind, most people have actually taken advantage right up until sort of, you know, dusk, which has been sort of 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So from that point of view, it has meant that if you are, you know, like a river mouse fisher, especially those smaller stream mouse, you probably haven't actually got out onto those mouths, and those fish haven't really come until a little bit later. So you've probably had, where you'd normally have 3 or 4 hours, you've probably had 2 or 3 hours. But that's just the nature of the beast this year. But no, those mouths are all good, and there are plenty of fish. Lots of browns have been caught in the streams north of us here, Waipihi Stream. It's amazing, really. It's amazing, the numbers, the size, the condition. Mm. It's just phenomenal. It's great.
Excellent. Now, the question is, what flies are working, Stella?
Those around the stream mouths are just using snot patterns. You know, your Jack Sprats, your snotty patterns, which have been probably the most productive. And naturally, you know, like I do, just something that's got a little bit of luminescent tie around its tummy, which you can charge with a torch if you want to. But I mean, really, in reality, I don't really think it makes a great deal of difference. You can use a cockabully imitation. You can use, a coda imitation if you want to. But in reality, there are just so many fish, they will eat anything that you present if you're in the right spot at the right time.
Okay. Get it in front of them and they'll whack it.
Very much so. And, you know, it has been surprising when you think that the lake edge is so warm at the moment. You'd think that those fish would not come in, but certainly those stream mouths are, you know, their water temperatures are quite pronounced, whereby it's a lot cooler. So those fish, as soon as that pressure around the lake eases, those fish come in. We've got, that big storm that we had 10 days ago, we had some significant scouring, which has created quite significant lips. So therefore, all the mouths on the eastern side, which is obviously our side, have got quite pronounced drop-offs. So, and that in itself is always going to be good. So therefore, your rip as it works its way out, drops over the edge, bringing that debris and food source and those sorts of things, and bringing those fish in, which is great.
Okay. I saw something on, I'm not sure if it was a television news or a newspaper article, a photo, the water on the over the Tongariro, the State Highway Bridge at Turangi?
That was actually Rangipo. That was actually, we had a flash flood, and that was Tuesday night. We had We had very we had sort of a heavy shower here and sort of quite steady rain for an hour or two. But around the mountain, we've had lots of this thundery type late afternoon where the rains come in and been very localised, and that was exactly that. Timiri, huge amount of rain, very short period of time, which came through one of the actual culverts, which couldn't hold on the road, and then actually progressed through property, which resulted in the people in the house being, evicted. Well, not evicted, but rescued. But really, when you start thinking about it, it would be absolutely horrendous. You know, it is nighttime, dark, thundering, lightning, and all of a sudden you've got this massive stream of water, which no one knew where it was coming from or where it was going to at the time, because obviously it was dark. And then, of course, ringing the 111 services and having the police and, ambulance, and obviously the fire brigade, who were amazing, rescued those people and, identified where the water was going, which thankfully didn't go through the house, but did go through property, and it was a lot of damage.
Oh, gosh, yeah. But it just shows you what can happen really quickly. Things can change.
Very much so. Well, I mean, you look at Auckland, same day, I think, Tuesday night or Tuesday morning, people going to work and driving down the road, and 1 minute, you've got sort of a normal, clean roadway, and then the next minute you've got water across the bonnet of your car just about. Yeah. Bizarre, isn't it?
That's just what happens, those
real thundery bursts and accumulation of huge amounts of water in a very short period of time, and it does a lot of damage.
Very localised. Yeah.
Very much so.
Okay. Now, water temperatures, they must be up a bit, I suppose?
Yes, significantly, really. I mean, really in reality, though, if you actually think of the daytime temperature and the water temperatures, they probably increase by 10 or 12 degrees, but they don't increase much more than that, because obviously all it takes is a little bit of wind, which, like the washing machine, stirs the lake up and reduces the temperature quite quickly. The top layer, though, and because we've had simply no wind, has been extremely warm for a very long period of time. And having had, 5 or 6 weeks in November, and, we had that little algae issue, algae bloom, that was a result of simply having no wind, having no wind over a lengthy period of time, so it warmed very rapidly. The lake, a little bit of a breeze tonight, which will wash together for a moment or two, but generally speaking, that the water temperature's unbelievable.
Okay.
And, it's not as if it's cold below, a metre or two. It's actually very warm for a considerable length.
Yeah. Now, I see your forecast is 28 tomorrow. Gosh, it's going to be cold on Monday at 27.
Well, I did actually see, I got a little note on my computer which was talking about that there's going to be snow at Cadrona, which I thought was a little extreme.
Uh-huh.
So there's obviously a southerly, little bit that's going to come lashing up the probably eastern side of the South Island, but I don't think it's going to have any bearing on us. But it just shows you, doesn't it? I mean, there's still changes which can affect mountainous areas, and likewise today we've had the most amazing thunderstorm late this afternoon over across the desert road through the Waipakahi and Otamanakau, and I just had Graham Dean who came in who said they actually got in their boat and sought shelter in a maimai, and it was terrifying.
Goodness.
Absolutely terrifying fork lightning, just completely bolts.
Yeah.
And a large number of people coming across the desert road said exactly the same thing this afternoon. Very, very frightening, and you have no idea where that lightning's going. So, it's the time of the year, isn't it?
Don't go waving your fly rod around.
God, imagine it, far out. And I mean, these are grown men, and very scary. I mean, nature is an amazing thing. You don't have any control at all, do you?
No.
So
now, as we speak, there's thousands of people heading from the south to Turangi, and from the north to Taupo Turangi. You must be very, very busy.
It's exceptionally busy.
Okay.
Yes, it's exceptionally busy. We've got the concert this weekend. There's a lot on around the area, and has been now, obviously, for a significant number of months. School goes back, obviously, for a lot of people next week, and after some actually start again about the 7th or the 8th after Waitangi weekend, which means that within reason things should settle a little bit, but that in itself I don't think is necessarily going to be the case, because it certainly hasn't been prior to this. And if you think of September, October, November, December have been exceptionally busy with significant numbers of tourists out and about, and they simply making the best of the area. They all bike, they fish, they they're on the water. It's great. It's just it is so good to see that people taking advantage of the area.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see a drop-off in February because February brings out all the people who wait until the kids go back to school.
Exactly, including
so
us.
So you get another, but a different type of person, an older person maybe.
I think, you know, it is surprising. You often have a lot of couples who have younger children who come out in February because obviously they wait till everybody else, you know, the school children are back at school.
Yeah.
But I actually read something quite interesting recently whereby 200,000, you know, baby boomers are retiring, you know, over the next 2 to 3 years and those prior to that. So if you think a lot of those people who have often lived in the cities who have moved out into provincial areas and who have a little bit more disposable income and who have camper vans and all those sort of things and who are outdoory people, are out doing things, you know, it does mean that everything is a little bit busier everywhere. Mm. And certainly State Highway 1 is an extremely busy road. And what did they say? 5 million people came, you know, tourists came last year. So if you think about 5 million tourists spread over a year, and I mean, you know, there was really no drop-off. So therefore, winter was just as busy as it has been in the summertime, which is hard to believe. It's just, there's just a slightly different format. Sometimes you'll find they're all in camper vans. Other times you'll find them all in self-drive. And a lot of those people are coming and skiing and fishing through the winter months, which has not been the, you know, the rule of thumb.
Mm, but it's all good for everyone. So let's sum up. The weather's good, the waters are good, the fishing's good.
Fishing is fantastic. Whether it be harling first thing in the morning, whether it be jigging throughout the day, those that are still using bead line a little bit deeper, you know, outside that 200 metre mark very early in the morning and later in the evening, there's just this fish everywhere.
Thank you, Stella. Now, for more information, how do people get hold of you, please?
Just give us a call, 0738689 53, or if you're going past, just call at the store at Terangieta, which is 40-odd minutes south of Taupo and 20 minutes north of Turangi. More than happy to help anytime.
Okay, that's the store at Turangieta, or ring Stella on 0738689 53 and talk fly fishing. Stella Gordon, we do appreciate it. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend.
You're welcome. Have a great week. Take care. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Stella Gordon, 0738689 53. She runs the store at Turangieta. There's accommodation, there's petrol, there's a cafe, and there's fly tying fishing shop. How good's that? Thank you, Stella. Okay, quick break, more fishing stuff. Fly fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Listen to this. Martin Langlands is based in South Island. They say of Martin Langlands, he only catches two types of fish, whoppers and big bass. Martin has many years' experience as a fisherman, and he can back this up. He's a fly tyer, a casting instructor, and a fishing guide. And his aim when fishing with a client is to be innovative, informative, friendly, and professional. And that's exactly while we talk to him live on air. Good evening, Martin.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good, you well?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, You've been making the news with your temperatures down there a bit at the moment.
Oh, look, we've had some amazingly hot temperatures, just incredible. Yesterday, I think, when we finished fishing, we looked at our car and it was 34 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to be quite hot early next week. So, yeah, look, really hot temperatures. That said, today was quite cool. I don't think today went above 18, and we actually had a little bit of rain last night and this morning.
Okay, well, that's quite a big temperature split, isn't it?
Oh, big temperature split. Yesterday, we were just so hot. Today, we couldn't get warm. So, you know, isn't that life? Yeah.
Okay,
definitely, the warmer temperatures, look, definitely, without a doubt, you know, higher temperatures than, you know, I've probably ever seen before. So,
okay.
Yeah, a lot of warm temperature, a lot of warm water, and it certainly makes it a wee bit life a wee bit hard for some trout, I believe.
Okay, well, you said typically they don't like water more than 18 degrees, is that correct?
Yeah, I guess so. Look, I guess that varies from fishery to fishery, but, you know, the big thing about what happens with water temperature is when fresh water becomes warmer, invariably there's lesser dissolved oxygen in the water, so the less energy fish can get and the more lethargic they become. There's slight generalisations to that, though. You know, sometimes rainbows can quite like water warming up and the like. So, you know, it varies.
Okay. But when the water temperature gets really, like, above 20, 22 or something, do they, presumably, they seek the shaded water, the riffled water with more oxygen?
Yeah, indeed. That's exactly it. What they'll often do is they'll go under trees, they'll go under banks, but and then, you know, and yeah, they'll exactly that. They'll the whiter, faster pieces of water, often what that relates to is, when it becomes really warm, a lot of the trout will move into the faster parts of river, so there's actually more water going through their gills faster.
Yes.
So they seek that oxygenated water, and they're very, very good at adapting to those conditions.
That means you've got to change the way you fish to them.
Well, it really does. I mean, you know, just like the last few days we've been fishing, so, you know, we've been doing a lot of rivers lately, and, you know, as you know, most, and I'm sure most of the listeners know, most rivers are comprised of, you know, slow-flowing pools, slow-flowing glides, and then faster riffles and runs. And without a doubt, the pools are really haven't amounted to much. You know, a lot of the better fishing we're having is, you know, when we can find fish that are in the runs, the rocky runs especially. Structure's a big thing to look for.
Okay.
You know, in amongst boulders and things like that.
Okay, I understand, yeah. Does it make it easy for your clients, though, does it, if they're not proficient with their casting or wading or anything?
Yeah, look, no, it's quite demanding, actually. Yeah. No, really quite demanding. You know, today I've had such a day. You know, I've been out today and we've just done quite a long day. And, I was really lucky. The friend I helped got two fish. It was a fun day fishing today. It wasn't guiding. One of my friends encountered two trout but didn't get any to the net. I caught one fish and hooked another and lost it. So, yeah, look, quite demanding fishery. But, look, we don't sort of mind that so much. I mean, it's just part and parcel of our angling.
Yes.
And days like today, which really push us hard, which I firmly believe was due to the higher water temperatures that we've been experiencing, especially coming off a really hot day yesterday, really just push you to be a better angler, to start adapting more, to start changing your flies, to try to make your cast, your first casts better, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it just pushes you in a direction.
Okay. So even when you're not working, you still go and do what you do when you're working?
Yeah. No, look, I've got a three-day trip that I'm doing here, so I've just fished 2 days fun with some friends that we're booking every year.
Yeah.
Two really good friends, one from Australia and one from New Zealand. And, you know, we go off and do these 3 days every year and have a bit of an adventure, for sure, and loving it. Look, it's really good for me to actually fish. You know, point in case yesterday, you know, often as I've said last week, we've had a lot of dry fly down here with the hot weather. That's one of the positives of it. It can make for some really good dry fly fishing. So I'm out there, and of course, you know, the game, you know, when you're nymph fishing, you've got to strike really fast, but when fish come and take your dries, you've got to strike quite slowly. So I'm on the end of the rod yesterday. I put you know, a lovely dry fly out to a fish that's rising, comes and takes it, and what do? Strike too soon. So it's actually quite good to actually get on the rod and put yourself in the seat. And as I say, I've been telling people all year to slow down with their strike. Here's me falling headlong into the same mistake. So it's really, you know, the game. It's actually really, really good. I think a lot of guides are a wee bit like me. We do quite like to fish.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we do that, you know, it's very easy to help people by telling them what to do, but it's, of course, always hard to instigate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, last few days, yeah, haven't been easy days. We've had great reward, and, no, it's been superb to fish. I've caught two fish in the 2 days, and I'm really happy.
Okay. You're fishing a faster water, which means you've got to have more weight?
Yeah, look, we've been doing spring creeks mainly, faster high country spring creeks. So, you know, a little bit of both, mainly nymphing. Yeah, even like yesterday, this is the interesting thing. I don't think people should think that because the weather's really hot that you're going to get dry flies. Like, we fished solidly yesterday, and we got one out of six fish on a dry. The rest were really deep nymphing.
Okay.
So sometimes when it's really hot, they will go to the bottom and they'll nymph away on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Even though yesterday there were cicadas hatching, et cetera, et cetera, 95% of the trout were nymph feeding.
Okay, yeah. Just got to get down there and get the weight right.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Now, some good news came out 2 days ago, Fish and Game. Canterbury Lakes have there's about six of them, I think, reopened.
Yes.
It's all okay, all been cleared.
Yeah, look, it seems good. Look, it's an interesting one. You know, it's been a really interesting process. So, you know, way back in the middle of November, they found these trout with nasty rashes on them.
Mm.
And I'm not exactly sure how many lakes. As far as I'm aware, it's only happened in two lakes. So, you know, there's a little bit of ambiguity about some of this. And anyway, yesterday they came through with an email saying it was all clear that... But I'm going to have to put a few questions here, and I know, you know, as a member of New Zealand Professional Fishing Guides Association, in terms of professionalism, we have to put a few questions up. And number one, they didn't identify what the rash was.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yes.
So we're none the wiser. You understand? They don't know whether it's a fungi. They don't know whether it's a bacteria. Is that good enough in this day and age? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's number one. Number two is. You know, can you eat those fish? Can you keep those fish? So that email that people got said nothing about that.
No, correct.
And then the other thing is, which lakes exactly have it? There was no data given out. So, you know, I think we've seen serious flaws in some of the communication from Fish and Game on that issue.
Yeah, I did see a list of lakes.
There's a list of lakes, but I'm not sure every one of those lakes has that rash.
Yeah, they would.
They were the lakes that were, they were closed, which they did for caution, and I think that was really wise and very prudent.
Yes.
So, look, really good news. And the positive of it is MPI, it's nothing to do with Fish and Game in a way. They did the tests. And what they've come back with is they can't identify it, which I find actually deeply disturbing.
That is a bit
by the way, you know, that you can't identify a rash on a fish in 2018. It's quite unusual.
Yeah.
But they have found that it's not contagious. Good Lord, how do they know that if they don't know what it is? So, you know, I actually raised some questions about it because, interesting, and I'm not alone. On a greater scale, it's quite disturbing what's happened, you know, with that rash, and, you know, they blame it on environmental factors, and that probably could be it. But I think New Zealand angling public deserve to know a little bit more about it. I think in this day and age, with the science you have, you should be able to identify whether it's a fungi, bacteria, you know, what sort of pathogen it is. So, but anyway, at least they've come back that it's apparently not contagious and the lakes have opened again, which is really nice for New Zealand public.
Yeah.
Can you eat those fish? Should you release those fish, et cetera, et cetera? No information was given out.
Good point, Martin. Well done.
It's interesting, isn't it? We're just thinkers. I mean, I'm not alone. I know, as I say, New Zealand Professional Fishing Guides and there are quite a few other people in this area that are keen anglers. You know, yeah, it's the age of information, as you know, and I think for general public, we probably deserve a wee bit better.
Fair enough, well said. Mm. Okay, anything else happening in your region?
No, look, all good.
All good.
You know, we've had a little bit of rain, you know, the higher temperatures. No, look, lots and lots of fishing options, you know, the backcountry, the low country, the salmon, you know, the lakes are still fishing quite well. You know, obviously early mornings are really good before the water temperatures get high. So, you know, a lot of opportunity for people. I think this weekend is really good. We haven't got any nor'west winds. So lots of opportunities out there, Colin.
Good. You get out there and get amongst
them. Out there and enjoy it. Don't get too political about it and just enjoy yourself.
Thank you, Martin. Now,
contact details,
please.
Yeah, sure. You can contact me at www.troutlands.com, which is my website, or find me on Facebook or Google by putting in Martin Langlands, LANGLANDS.
All right, have a look at Martin Langlands on Facebook. Excellent photography, photos of today's fishing. John, was it? You were John?
Yeah, John. Yeah, no, he got two crackers today.
Yeah.
He got a Yeah, really nice fish. They were both about 5 or 6 pounds. Yeah. And, took a few underwater photos of them today.
Yeah, no, it's very good. So Martin Langland's on Facebook. Have a look at his website as well, troutlands.com. Martin Langland, thank you for talking to Hooked on
Fly Fishing. Thank you very much, Colin. Talk more next week.
Thanks, Martin.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Mr. Langlands. Okay, quick break, more fishing stuff.
Selfish, sad, and moody. I can hear my mama talking to me. She said, girl, you need to change your attitude. I come home tired and I'm rude to you. I say go to him and in a hurry. And if that hurts, I get a little mad at you. The truth be known, I'm a little jealous too. Well, if tears like rain have magic power. Here they come again, them midnight showers. Let it rain tonight, purify life.
You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. And that's why we want to talk to him. Bert is live on air with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Good evening, Colin.
How are you all?
Yeah.
What's all that noise in the background?
Oh, thunder, lightning, heavy rain, hail between 20 and 25 millimetres in diameter. Just lost the roof, just punctured it in multiple places, so the canopy over the deck is destroyed. Yeah. There's surface flooding everywhere. My veggie garden, my tomatoes got nuked with the ice coming down, and it hasn't been very pleasant. About half an hour, 40 minutes, I suppose. Still bucketing down, still got thunder and lightning around, but the rain has eased a little.
Goodness me. I've just called up Met Service, Rotorua, and it says, today, isolated thunderstorms, possible downpours and hail during the evening. So that's the spot on.
That was a good one.
Goodness me,
it's
still
going. You there?
Yes, I can hear you. Goodness.
Yeah. That was just a big peal of thunder going through. The fishing has been better when the sun has been out. The lake temperatures are well up.
Yes.
Rerefokaidu has fished particularly well. One angler from Tauranga was out there, got over 26 fish in a week. I'm very happy with that. All in very, very good condition. Mostly hailing, but a bit of jigging as well in the deeper holes. So, Rerefokaidu does tend to fish quite well at this time of the year. While it does get warm, it seems to be a bit of an inflow somewhere of cold water. So, it's always worth a look out there. I'm not sure how the shoreline fishing's been, but that shouldn't be too bad. But his was mostly from a boat, so it makes it a bit tough when you're fly fishing from the shores. Spin fishing is probably better, though. The action of your lures and the speed of them probably is enough to really get them excited, whereas the flies tend to be a bit slower through the water in most cases.
Yes.
But you can always run an indicator and a nymph on a longish line if you found a deep hole close to the shore and not do too badly.
Mm-hmm. What have you heard about stream mouse, Hamarana, YTT?
Oh, some absolutely amazing brown trout coming out the mouth of the Nongi and the others, mostly the Nongi. You're talking, stuff well over 4 kilos. Fat as, beautiful golden brown fish, most of them. It's been amazing. The fish are getting quite spooky now. So it's just a matter of your careful stalking. You've got to make sure the sun's in the right position. You've got to make sure you're moving slowly and you're not pushing a pressure wave in front of you. You've really got to be careful if you want to target browns. Now, one of the things not to do is to follow the current down into the lake, because you're going to stir up some sediment off the bottom, and that's going to alert the fish in front of you, and they'll disappear. So the idea is to go out as far as you can, and hopefully the sun's behind your back, and then you can walk back up where that current line is, carefully scanning ahead of you, and you're walking very, very slowly. About the speed of a grazing cow is almost too fast. That's how slow you got to be. I've worked this out by fishing some of the streams that come through farms.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the fish are not disturbed by a grazing cow. They are disturbed by anything moving faster. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get a steers or something that decide to play up and they kick up the heels and bounce around a bit, boy, those fish disappear real quick.
I understand.
So the speed of a grazing cow is about where you want to be.
That's a very good analogy. I'll remember that. Thank you, Bert. Yeah. Now, what sort of flies are working?
Well, the woolly bugger is always a good start. Black one seems to have been quite good for a while. It's a matter of trial and error, but when the sun is out and it's really, really hot, then the fish will come in. If it's an overcast day and quite humid and not so sunny, you tend not to get the bigger numbers in, and then they're not grouped up quite as tightly as they can be. Next week is supposed to be one of our hottest weeks ever. So it's just a matter of picking your days. And if over here on a very fine day with a lot of heat in that sun, you will get fish coming into the stream mouths.
Okay, looking for the cooler water.
Absolutely. Yes. But the one thing that seems to go hand in hand with the high water temperatures is the fact that the sun is beating down on the water. And that seems to be more important than most things. You can have that high water temperature, but an overcast day, and they don't seem to come in as much. That sunlight drives them straight in.
Okay, I understand. All right, thank you, Bert. Lovely to catch up with you. I'm sorry to hear about your roof over the deck with holes in it. And goodness me, you better go and fix that up after you've given us your contact details.
There's a lot I can do with that complete replacement, unfortunately, but I might 027-289-6079. Right. Just hope my half-kilo tomatoes aren't actually going too badly damaged for eating.
Okay, Bert Robinson, Rotorua Angling. Talk fly fishing, he loves it. 027-289-6079. Thank you, Bert. Enjoy the weekend. Keep dry.
I'll do that. We'll catch you later.
Thank you.
Bye. See ya.
Mr. Bert Robinson, appreciate that. Okay. It sounds as though that lightning and thunder was terrible and he's got holes in his roof and stuff, so poor old Bert. Get on to that. Okay, we're just coming up towards the end of the show. In fact, we've got 43 seconds to go. So we do have time for the fly fishing tip of the week. The fly fishing tip of the week. Talking about the sun. Check the relationship of the sun to the area you are fishing. If the fish look into the sun, use a dark pattern. It will provide a silhouette. If the sun is behind the fish, use a bright or reflective pattern. If it is cloudy or the sun is directly overhead, use natural colours. It all makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.